Hey, welcome to Getting Work to Work, a weekly podcast for creative professionals and entrepreneurs looking to grow, learn new things, get inspired, and break down the barriers that prevent them from doing the work they were born to do. This episode of Getting Work to Work is starting a fun series focused on Design Week Portland, which is a week-long event coming up April 14th through the 21st. And over the next four releases on Wednesday, I'm going to share interviews with the directors of Design Week Portland, artists, and all sorts of people that are connected with this event throughout the city of Portland. I'm Chris Martin, and you're listening to episode 146, Interview with Seeley Pines. Seeley is the co-founder and director of Design Week Portland, the digital creative director for the agency Fine, and was named a person to watch in 2018 by Graphic Design USA. In this episode of Getting Work to Work, Seeley and I talk about Design Week Portland, new experiments that they're trying out this year, the power of community, how her work is fueled by Design Week Portland, and how she fosters collaboration. Show notes and links for this episode can be found at gwtw.co/146. Getting Work to Work is brought to you by Chris Martin Studios, a media production company telling stories with heart, edge, and fearlessness for those who dare to build a better world. Keep in touch with Chris Martin Studios by signing up for the Curiosity Lab, my weekly email newsletter at gwtw.co/146. By doing so, you'll receive inspiration on Mondays and Fridays with ways to increase your creativity, curiosity, and wonder. All right, you ready for this interview with Seeley? Let's get into it. Seeley, thank you so much for being a guest on Getting Work to Work. Why don't you start by introducing yourself and share a little bit about what you do?
Well, I'm so pleased to be here. So I have a bit of a double life, maybe triple life. I am the director of Design Week Portland, and I am also a creative director at Fine, which is an agency that works in brand and digital, with whom I've been working for 16 years.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So Design Week has been sort of my passion project for 6 years now.
Wow.
It started because I was hosting Creative Mornings in Portland, and I started meeting so many cool people doing really cool things. And it's just grown from there. So yeah, that's the double life. I spend all the time that I am not either with my family or at the office working Fine, trying to push things forward with Design Week.
Yeah. I think it's pretty awesome that you do all that you do. And I've seen you at Creative Mornings. I've seen you at these different events. And I'm kind of like on the sidelines going like, that's her. She's awesome. And
aww.
And so just all that you do, thank you just from one creative in the area, just for all that you do.
Oh, that's so nice. Yeah. I mean, it's funny because sometimes I can see somebody three or four times at Creative Mornings or other events, and we never get introduced. And then once we finally start talking, I start connecting all the dots. I'm like, oh, there's that time that I saw you at this event and we didn't get a chance to catch up. So it's always nice to hear when people have been attending for a while or have just experienced Design Week, since there's hundreds of things mm-hmm. going on, and there are a lot of things that I didn't even get to see happening. So that's awesome to hear.
Yeah. So what is Design Week Portland, and how does it bring the creative community together in Portland?
Well, Design Week Portland is a festival. It's a week of events and open houses all around Portland. It started off as a collective of a number of different organizers who were running independent events in town already, and we sort of banded together and tried to see if we could just share audiences and raise excitement about what everybody was up to by pointing all the things that we were doing already to a single contained week. And then we started getting nervous that we wouldn't have enough and it would be this, you know, sort of sad trombone of, oh my gosh, Design Week Portland, and there would be like 10 things. So we started asking everybody that we knew to run an event, or at the very least just to open their doors during specific hours so that people could come and see inside spaces that you generally can't access, whether they're studios or maker spaces. Mm-hmm. In a period of, I don't know, 5 months or so, we managed to galvanize about 100 things the first year, which was way more than we were expecting. And the response was amazing. So, of course, we realized after that, oh, I guess we have to do that again. And so every year since 2012, we have had that sort of week of riotous activity around town. And we've kept with overall that sort of grassroots model of trying to really include the creative community in programming, you know, all the things that happen for the creative community during that period of time. But we've also, over the years, just gotten more ambitious and have tried to introduce central programs that, you know, we feel are aligned with our mission to cross-pollinate between design disciplines and also for designers to give back to the city and be part of the future of the city, and provide on-ramps for students and people who are just starting out in their careers. Mm-hmm. And so we've grafted on all kinds of things over the years, whether it's public exhibitions that engage the public in questions about future infrastructure for the city, or, you know, design competitions that would feed such a thing. We've launched a journal where we commission writers to sort of reflect on some of the things that come up during the festival for a long tail of content so that we can keep discussions going. We've started partnering with Portland Workforce Alliance to give access to Portland public school students to a lot of the things that go on, as well as private tours that are really customized for them. And we've really just tried to build these more external programs that benefit the public, mm-hmm. and not just keep it like a navel-gazing designer talking to designer kind of thing. Although there's totally value in that as well. So yeah, we've really just developed this thing organically every year. We change up what we're doing every year. We keep what works. We scrap what doesn't work. Mm-hmm. We introduce new things to try. It really brings the community together in a whole bunch of ways. I mean, you know, Design Week Portland has been producing Creative Morning. So every month we quite literally bring the creative community together to just be together and experience inspiring content. And, you know, 300 things in the course of a week. Last year there were over 7,000 people engaged in at least one of those programs. Wow. So we're really trying to put interesting people in the room with other interesting people in all different kinds of ways, and to be democratic about who gets to set the agenda for what is being talked about, where it's being talked about, who's talking. Online, we are trying to spark conversations and bring the community together in that way. And then, as I said, you know, I really think a lot of the impact of having a well-organized design community, the way that this has allowed us to bring the larger creative community together, it's about bringing us together to do something that's positive and to contribute.
Yeah. Well, and it's such an interesting time too, where there's a lot of design discussions going on about what is good design, what is ethical design, and yeah, and it's just it's really a fascinating time, I think, to be in the creative space, because
totally
it's just, I don't know, it's just really fascinating to me to watch these passionate discussions occur. And I think it's awesome that it sounds like Design Week Portland is really an extension of that discussion.
Yeah, and we believe in having hard conversations. You know, a lot of the writing that we commission is coming from the perspective of social criticism, ethics, mm-hmm. thinking about unintended consequences of design, and really trying to create a space where we can have that dialogue and push ourselves a little bit so that it's not, I mean, certainly there's tons during the festival that's a celebration of design, and there's a lot to celebrate. And I think this place has incredible resources across so many different design practices and so many interesting humans that are doing cool things. But I also think it's sort of our job to ask the hard things about our responsibility and about, you know, who is setting the agenda and about how the things that we design get used.
Yeah. What are some of your favorite things about Design Week Portland personally?
Well, you know, for me, it's funny. I get the sort of back office view of Design Week. But for me, the coolest part of it really is that in terms of just getting this festival made, it requires so many collaborations. And it's so fun to meet new people every year who are interested in, you know, putting their efforts towards this thing and are bringing these unique talents and just having the opportunity to put teams together or make suggestions for collaborations and just kind of see the energy that is fueling the production of the thing. So my favorite thing really is all that scheming, you know, the scheming that comes before the week. The week itself is incredible and it always feels like, you know, you're fulfilling some sort of just really important landmark in something that you've been working towards, but it's also just all of the pre-gaming. Yeah. That's great.
Is it a challenge to collaborate in the planning stage of this? I mean, I imagine there's a ton of people involved in various capacities. And so does that make it hard?
Well, it actually makes it really exciting, I think, because we do have, I don't know, probably 40-ish people who are working on this thing in some capacity over the course of more or less 8 months, with a super intense period about 4 months ahead of the festival. And I mean, sure, it's challenging in the sense that any team management is challenging, but it's super rewarding because what Portland really has is human resources, I've found. We don't have a lot of money. We're a nonprofit and we run on a shoestring and we're always rubbing pennies together just to like make it pencil out. But what we have in spades are just people who are down to party. Like they're down to really put, you know, in some cases, hundreds of hours pro bono towards this thing with specialized skills and energy and ideas. And I find that to be just so invigorating to have those collaborations that are not fueled by a client project or something that we're all getting paid to do, but is a passion project and a mission that everyone believes in. So I find that super, super gratifying.
Yeah. I liked earlier how you were talking as well about the importance of doing new things every year. And so I imagine that that shakes up collaboration as well.
Oh, yeah. So absolutely.
What are some of the new things that you're trying this year that you are excited about?
Every year there's a bunch of new things. The first couple of years we were just figuring out how to do the distributed model that we have and how to make it open and accessible for people and how to scale it so that there was access. Mm-hmm. So it took a couple years just to get like the basic architecture of that in place. And once we did that, that's when we started thinking, okay, well, what else can we as an organization do during this time? And so we launched our headquarters, which is a week-long installation where Design Week has a presence somewhere in the city. And it started out really just as an activation to say like, design is here and there's value to design. And so we had 50 different designers in residence cycling through, you know, these geodesic domes that were installed on Pioneer Courthouse Square in Portland's living room. And then it slowly evolved into more of a civic project where we started asking citizens questions and using design as a way to have public conversations about what we want for the future of the city. And then, you know, we worked with Randy Gragg to put together a competition that would identify a creative team that could help conceptualize the Green Loop, which is a proposed piece of infrastructure for the city. Hmm. And then full circle, the following year, we activated that concept as a way to have an interface between the city bureaus that were working on that, PBOT and the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, and the public in a way that was a little bit more design driven than maybe otherwise would have been possible. You know, meanwhile, we were also launching our own content. So we had a main stage with our own curated speakers. We launched the journal. There were so many things going on. And last year was the most built out version of the festival ever, where all of those things were online. And we brought the youth track online.
Wow.
So we had, you know, custom youth tours, and all of that stuff was laddering up to what I think the future of Design Week really is, which is for it to not actually just be a week, to really evolve into a year-round organization that can provide more of what we do during the festival all through the year.
Yeah.
So what's really new this year is that we decided for the festival that we would reinvest in the core program, which is the distributed track. And we provided a ton of really high touch support for the hundreds of organizers that are doing what they're doing, because it really is the roots of the festival. And we wanted to strengthen that really core element. And we took a break from doing a full build out of our own headquarters and, you know, our own curated, fully stacked day of talks through the main stage. And we really decided that what we're putting our energy towards is building capacity to evolve into a new kind of organization in the long run. And so part of what's new at the festival this year is that we collaborated with a number of different organizations to run a core track of programming that we were not curating. We were partnering with them, and we were helping identify who could be curating that. But we ourselves decided we're not going to have a heavier hand with that. We would just have a single event each day of the festival that we were partnered on and collaborating on. From a look at the future of the architecture in the city at PNCA that Randy Gragg is running, which will cap this sort of four event arc that he's doing called One City, to a full day fashion sustainability sort of conference that is being run at the tail end. There's something every day that we're involved in, but that we ourselves are not completely molding. So I'm really excited about that, because it's brought a new form of collaboration for us. And it has also, frankly, just given us a break from the central production we've been doing over the few years recently to start building capacity for what I think is going to be the most impactful next step for us, which is between the 2018 festival and the 2019 festival, to sort of reframe what we're doing as Design Portland. And Design Week Portland will always be a component of that. It will be our rallying cry every year. It will still be that ride of activity for a week. But we're really looking at how can we, as an organization year-round, map the creative landscape in Portland and make it publicly accessible so people can see everything that everyone is doing here and have visibility into that. How can we develop the youth program that we've been working on with Portland Workforce Alliance and scale it so that we're eventually looking at the entire life cycle of a single student and going beyond just introducing them to the different disciplines during the festival through these tours and career days that we're doing, to more of an academy where they can have a full week of deep diving into workshops and eventually access to mentorship and access to internships and access to academic advising, and really helping to bridge the professional design landscape with the opportunities that public school students in Portland have, and also to really try to reach students from backgrounds that are not well represented in design to, you know, really invest in that pipeline of kids that are coming up and making them more prepared and more aware for these kinds of careers. And then we also want to more fully develop the civic programs that we have been essentially prototyping through the festival, which would look at, you know, how do we partner with the city and the different bureaus working on different things, and also activate the larger design community to come up with ways that we can engage and support some of these initiatives, or perhaps going into certain communities in Portland and really listen and ask what would be of service to that community and help activate design community in service to them. So these are all the things that are our big dreams that we've just never had the full bandwidth to do, and that we're right now really trying to build the capacity to do.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, so I'm super excited about that. And of course, there's so much interesting stuff going on, you know, things that are happening in our core track and beyond. I mean, there's events that are fun, like Adam Garcia's talk show, which is called The Pressure is Good for You. That's one of our core events. It's happening at Instrument, and he piloted it last year at our headquarters, and it was incredible. I mean, he gets people from all these different creative backgrounds. He does interviews, and then there are performances, and it's very experiential. So there are really fun things like that. Then there's also, you know, really thought-provoking events, like an event called Empathy Bots in the Future of AI, that's really hitting on an area that I'm interested in, which is the emerging opportunities and implications of machine learning. You know, so there's just this whole range of stuff. It's like, are you interested in beer label design? There's an event for that.
All right.
Are you interested in, you know, cats and macrame? There's an event for that. You know, so there's just kind of something for everybody. And every year, really, the field is so open wide. It's like, what are people thinking about? It's new every time.
One of the things that I thought was really cool, I don't know if this was new this year, but it's new to me, is the itineraries that different people are having.
Yes. Oh, I'm so excited that you noticed that. So we've actually been developing that for a couple of years, and we've always been super frustrated that it doesn't seem as visible as we'd like. Mm-hmm. We hear so often that people look at our schedule and feel super overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. They look at, you know, this just deep, deep list of 100 and some odd things for events and 100 and some odd things for open houses. And there's just this feeling of like analysis paralysis. Mm-hmm. And so a few years ago, we thought, well, you know, maybe there could be curated lists. And we started out with just, you know, people who were involved in the festival doing them, where we would ask, you know, Aaron Draplin, what are you going to go see? And Kate Bingham and Bert, what are you going to be up to? And then last year we started thinking like, oh, maybe we could actually cluster itineraries by themes, you know, like if you're interested in a certain discipline or you want to see what all the free events are and what's recommended in those. So we started developing those. But then this year we really have tried to raise the volume on those and do packaged editorial content around them and send them out in our newsletters a little bit more. And so I'm really happy to hear you ask about that, because it means that maybe we're succeeding in getting those noticed.
Yeah, I think it was the newsletter where I saw it the most. And again, it's just like you were saying, it's like, it's so overwhelming when you go to that landing page of events, you're just like, oh no, I don't know. But then, you know, the itinerary, what it helped me see was, you know, not who am I going to stalk, but,
yes,
you know, what are the thought leaders in the area seeing that is going to bring awareness to different events?
Totally.
And maybe a little people stalking.
Yes. Well, and this year we're actually trying to get our print programs out earlier than we ever have. And we're including those discipline and more theme-based itineraries in the program so that people can get their hands on those a little bit earlier and plan a little bit more. So yeah, I'm hopeful that it will make it feel a little bit more digestible for people. Yeah.
What advice would you give to people who go to an event and maybe a little starstruck when they see someone? So like, oh my gosh, that's so-and-so. Or maybe they're just shy and afraid to say hello to someone. I mean, what advice would you give to people?
Well, that's a question that hits home for me, because I am one of those people. And actually, when I started Creative Mornings, you know, I had my head down for like 10 years, just trying to get better at being a designer. I was not networked with very many people. I was terrible at networking events. I just am not gregarious. I'm not really an extrovert. Mm-hmm. And I always felt that way. I always felt like a wallflower at those kinds of events, to the point where I kind of dreaded them. And it's actually informed the way that we try to run events. But fundamentally, you know, I started organizing Creative Morning so that I would have an excuse to talk to interesting people, is just to like reach out to them and say, you're interesting, and would you speak at Creative Mornings? And just having people come up to me and say like, oh, hey, I see you do this, and let me tell you about this thing I'm working on. And so it was so much easier for me to have like incoming social outreach than to try to do any of that outgoing. But it has also, as I said, kind of informed the way that we think about events, because I like to promote formats that give people lots of different ways to feel included. So if you are not the kind of person who is going to walk up to somebody and introduce yourself, there's content that's going on, and you can, you know, sit there and maybe sit next to someone and have something to talk to them about that is not really, you know, you seeming like you're using a one-liner on them or something. And so really just to provide more comfortable social environments where there's a lot of different on roads to conversations. And so that is actually my very best advice for breaking the ice with people, is to just try to use kind of a conversation starter that is connected to what's happening right there in the environment, as opposed to kind of coming up and being like, I'm gonna give you my resume verbally the moment that I meet you, which is what I think people think of as networking. Mm-hmm. But actually, networking is just relationship building, and it's just starting conversations with people. And sometimes the best way to do that is to do it as a response to a stimulus, like a talk or an exhibit, something that you're looking at, and to just kind of be more conspiratorial with them. And people love to be approached that way. They really much prefer it to, oh God, this person's like about to pitch me something, or, you know, whatever. So just be human first. That's my advice.
You've kind of touched on it a little bit, but what do you hope people will take away from Design Week Portland?
For me, there's so many different things that people could take away from it. It could be something that is a piece of inspiration, something that gives you that little spark for your own work. But it could also be just that you met someone who does something really different from you, but you find a way to sort of keep in touch with them. And then eventually there's some collaboration that comes out of it. And just a sense of belonging, honestly. I mean, a lot of these events really have to do with community. And I feel like that's a word that gets used so much that it's used as a buzzword, but it's not a buzzword. It's true. You know, what I love most about Design Week is the feeling of being in the orbit of these other people and running into them again and again and finding ways to do fun things together that may lead to something substantive or may just be fun. So that's what I really hope the takeaway is experientially. And then I hope the impact ultimately is that there's just greater cross-pollination and creative ferment in the city, and that improves life for the city.
That's awesome. How does your involvement in Design Week Portland spark the work that you do as a digital creative director?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, they really feed each other, because there are a lot of things that I've learned from just being in the trenches of a team that's working on commercial projects that I've applied to what I do with Design Week, and vice versa. I am creatively nourished by Design Week. And so I feel that from the perspective of creative direction, what it does for me is that it just fills the well. It fills the well, and it gives me that, you know, that sort of omnivore's plate of nourishment to do the work. You know, I feel like a lot of good design work has to do with having good nutrition as a human overall, you know, awareness of what's happening outside of design, awareness of how other practitioners of design think and work. So that is very rich when it comes to both Creative Mornings and Design Week. And then conversely, the discipline of delivering on client work with a multidisciplinary team is 100% the DNA for running Design Week, and pulling in the right players at the right time and activating the right people and really keeping a vision in front of everybody so that we're all chasing the same goal. So it's a very symbiotic relationship, even though from like a sustainability standpoint, it's hard to have a full-time job and also put in. I mean, I did back of the napkin math a few years ago and I was like, wow, I think I probably put about 1,000 hours a year into Design Week. That's kind of nuts. Wow. But it's good stuff.
I saw that you were recently named a person to watch in 2018 by Graphic Design USA.
Oh, God, don't watch me, please.
Congratulations. I think that's just awesome. And at the bottom of the announcement that I saw, there was a fabulous quote, and it said, "Surround yourself with people who are smarter than you." What does that look like in your daily life, either as a digital creative director or as just your work with Design Week Portland?
Oh my gosh. It is so, it's the fuel behind all of it, really. I believe strongly in bringing up talent that is better than you. I am on my heels all the time. Many of the volunteers for Design Week and then folks who get hired into my team are coming in out of school. They're young. They're in their 20s. They're brilliant. Like they are better than me in a whole host of ways. They're also inexperienced in some ways, but they are so smart and so talented. That energy is hugely inspiring to me. Plus, I also get to collaborate across with a lot of people who are in different disciplines, but are in about the same stage of their career or perhaps further along in their career than me through these various roles that I have. And I'm just bowled over by how many incredible people there are in Portland doing just world-class work. They're so smart. And I often feel imposter syndrome the way that most creatives do. Basically, anyone who has any level of ambition, I think, feels that way. Mm-hmm. Just because of like the amazing level of thoughtfulness, creativity, and unexpected perspectives. And so for me, I am always striving to be the least talented person in the room, to truly be challenged by all the people that I collaborate with. And I regularly am. I mean, it is not difficult to find people who outstrip me in any number of categories, whether in the capacity of Design Week or at work at Fine.
I'm having a hard time believing that you are the least smartest person in the room, because strike me as someone just incredibly intelligent.
Oh, thanks. I mean, I'm reasonably smart, but there are just a lot of people that I learn from all the time. And it's not so much like, are they smarter than me? You know, like it's just kind of a bit of a cheeky way to put it, right? Surround yourself with people who are smarter than you. It's not because I think that I'm dumb. It's because I think that everyone has these different talents and these different capabilities, and no one person encompasses all of that. And so you're constantly running into people who are better than you are in some kind of category. And I honestly feel that my biggest strength is just that I'm sort of good, but at a lot of things. So it's not difficult to find people who are more deeply experienced in a particular category than me, because I think my superpower is just that breadth, first and foremost. Yeah. And it's really important to have that complementary collaboration with people who really have a depth and are incredibly capable at a particular craft.
Final question for you, and it's a question that I love to ask everyone that I have on my podcast, is what's one book or resource that has impacted your life?
One book or resource. You know, I get asked these kinds of questions sometimes, like what's the one movie? What's the one book? What's the one album? What's your desert island list? And it's so hard for me because, you know, as far as like a book, I read a lot of fiction. Mm-hmm. And I think there are sort of these two schools of thought. There's like the school of thought that there's so much great nonfiction that can really teach you about the world. And why would I bother reading something that's not true, right? Why would I bother reading fiction? But But I have kind of the opposite view of it, which is that I actually think fiction generally reveals more about the human condition than nonfiction. And I have a very particular swath of fiction that I like, which I sort of think of as middlebrow fiction, which is probably like a derogatory way of putting it. But it's like the, you know, Jeffrey Eugenides and Curtis Sittenfeld and Nick Hornby and, you know, this sort of particular strata of fiction. It's not like the super junky beach reads, and it's also not like the super dense classics. And I just get so much from reading that sort of fiction. I feel like it just helps you to reflect on the human condition in a way that's just more difficult to do in a vacuum and on your own. Mm-hmm. And I think it actually ladders up to that surround yourself with people who are smarter than you. Amazing fiction writers just have a way of throwing something into relief that you've experienced and you've never had words for. That's where I try to spend all of my reading time.
Well, Celie, thank you so much for being a guest on Getting Work to Work. It's been a pleasure meeting you. It's been a pleasure learning more about Design Week Portland. And I'm looking forward to several of the events. And I'm just looking forward to seeing just the impact that it will have on the Portland creative community. So thank you.
Oh my gosh, thank you. It's been entirely my pleasure.
That does it for this episode of Getting Work to Work. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this podcast. It means so much to me that you do. Would you be willing to share Getting Work to Work with your friends, other creative professionals, and entrepreneurs? Not only will you get the word out about this show, but hopefully you'll share so that more people can learn about Design Week Portland and all of the amazing events going on in April. I, for one, am looking forward to the opening party, something about empathy and artificial intelligence, and awesome things about storytelling. So go to designweekportland.com and you'll see all of the amazing events coming up. Feel free to share this episode by sending people to gwtw.co or have them search for Getting Work to Work on most podcast platforms. Got a few moments to let me know what you think of this show? You can head to Getting Work to Work on Apple Podcasts, click ratings and reviews, and you can either click the number of stars to rate the show, or if you're so inclined, you can write me a review. I do read everything, and I actually like reading them at the end of the show. Would you like to be a guest on a future episode of Getting Work to Work or know someone who should be on the show? Maybe you need some advice or just want someone to say hi to. Drop me a line by sending me an email. I'm chris@chrismartinstudios.com, or you can find me on Twitter. I'm @CMStudios. Until next time, may creativity and curiosity fuel your life.